It's truly my pleasure to be here with you good people and to be asked by the eldership here and Brother Tommy to speak at this lectureship. I played hard to get with Tommy over the years. He's been asking me for many times from the very beginning of this fine lectureship to come here and speak. And this year I just gave in and I said, yes, I would. And so I'm here and I'm appreciative of that. I'm thankful for Tommy and his wife, the Largents, for being there at the airport to pick me up after having a very long day of inconvenient travel. And so they were gracious enough to bring me back here. I'm grateful for that. Grateful for all the congregation here and all those who are involved in preparing the meals and making things possible for us and your hospitality and your kindness. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the Tallers that I've known for years. I love them greatly. I'm grateful for the Online Academy of Biblical Studies and what they're able to do for the Brotherhood and that the truth can go out internationally and cross borders where sometimes hard copy cannot go. And so I'm thankful for what Brother Bright and the congregation there in Dyersburg has done. I'm also grateful for the students here that are from Southwest. Keep on studying. And please God, as you do your studies, remembering that's who we serve. And so when you're studying for those exams, it's not just studying for yourself to get a good grade, but you're studying to please our Lord. And I'm thankful for Richard and Wayne and Chaco for being students in classes I've they've taken over the years that I've taught. And so I'm just grateful here and indebted to each and every one of you for your kindness. The lesson of the hour and the theme this week is your adversary, the devil. The lesson is entitled Witchcraft, Horoscopes, Tarot Cards, and etc. In Romans chapter 6 and verses 16, 17, and 18, we read, "Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants, to obey his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin on the death or of obedience on the righteousness, but God be thanked. That you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being made then free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness." As people, we have a choice of whom we will serve. We have two choices, two options before us in this life. One choice is we can serve sin and that is Satan himself, or we can serve righteousness, the Lord, the maker of us all. The world offers many avenues of worship and adoration contrary to truth. And we have a responsibility as God's servants and as his people in this world to take that truth and poke it out there into the camouflage and the deception of error so that some soul somewhere can see something that is different than what the world is offering. The occult is an ancient alternative to truth. Fetishism, the worship of stocks, stones, and bones of animals, shells, pieces of wood, planets, etc., in belief that they are endowed with life, and a sort of divinity that has been regarded as the lowest phase of religious worship which man has exhibited. Fetishism leads one into the practice of world religions and the occult. When people consider the history of the Europeans, we see that they were very superstitious concerning life and the afterlife. Consider the thoughts of William Lecky at the turn of the 20th century. He writes, "Men were still profoundly superstitious, but they resorted to each new religion as a charm or a talisman or of a special power or a system of magic revealing the future. There were multitudes who declaring that there was no gods or that the gods never interfered with human affairs, professed with the same breath and absolute faith in all portents, auguries, dreams, and miracles, innumerable natural objects such as comets, meteors, earthquakes, or monstrous births were supposed to possess a kind of an occult or magical virtue by which they foreshadowed, in some cases, influenced the destinies of men. Astrology, which is the special representative of this mode of thought, rose to great prominence the elder Pliny. Notices that in his time, a belief that was rapidly gaining ground both among the learned and among the vulgar, that the whole destiny of man is determined by the star that presides over his nativity or his birth. One of the latter historians of the empire, that is the Roman Empire, remarks that numbers, or many people who deny the existence of any divinity, believe nevertheless that they could not safely appear in public or eat or bathe unless they had first carefully consulted the almanac or ascertained the position of the planet Mercury or how far the moon was from the crab. And that kind of thinking from the first century to the present age is not uncommon of world leaders even to this day. I think what has grabbed the headline news of our nation, of the international press, has been what has taken place in Burma. And those generals who are the military leaders in that country and who are the leaders of that nation, they consult the astrology and the stars for what decisions they need to make with their people. And thus we see the chaos that comes from following the cult in, even in our present age. Paul came in contact with such philosophies in Greece. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "You men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious." Hence, the occult has had a prominent place in history. And as the Church of Christ, we, like Paul, need to present the truth concerning Christ and who He is and what He has done for us and our responsibility to Him. In doing this, the workings of Satan via the cult will be confronted and challenged with truth. First of all, the occult has become common within our modern society through television programs like Bewitched and its spinoffs, the movies and the books that promote Harry Potter, the local newspaper that tell people their future or fortune via horoscopes, the neighborhood Asian restaurants that offer fortune cookies for each and every patron, nationally and internationally, the celebration of Halloween is becoming more popular throughout the world. In addition, the Native Americans, through their culture, advances occultism via shamans and certain cultural practices unique to the Native American. Our society is saturated with the occult and its promotion. Millions, if not billions, of souls have embraced the occult and its variations throughout the world today. Moses revealed to God's people the dangers of this kind of thinking, of the various aspects and the workings of the occult in Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verses 9 through 14. And we read in the law, "When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you any one that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that uses divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, because these abominations the Lord thy God does drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. For these nations which thou shalt possess, hearken unto the observer of times and unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God has not suffered thee to do so." Our God did not allow His people of old to turn to these kind of whispers and ticklers of the ear that will tell people lies and deceptions. When we look at one of the points that Moses brings up here, the killing of their children by making his son or daughter to pass through the fire. The occult does not distinguish between children being offered in ceremonial rites and those being sacrificed by the secular materialistic world for personal or cultural desires. And we see these practices widespread not only in our country, but internationally, the murder and the killing of children. Sadly, Israel and Judah suffered under the leadership influence by the occult and caused their own children to be murdered needlessly by passing through the fire, 1 Kings 21, verses 1 through 6. Divination, also called fortune telling. This practice is found at carnivals, circuses, the local newspaper, or in your neighborhoods as a palm or a tarot card readers. Fortune tellers will charge outlandish prices concerning their practices for your readings. In preparation for this lesson, I went up to the doors of these palm readers and tarot card readers. One lady, when I knocked on her door, asked me, "Well, why are you here?" You know, and I just had this humorous expression to come across my face, thinking, "Well, you should already know." But I contained my humor and explained to her why I was at her door. And I was able to ask her a few questions. "How prevalent is your practice in the United States?" She said, "I do not know." "Do you have special training for your ability?" She said, "Well, everybody's journey is different." I then asked, "How much do your services cost an inquirer?" And she said, $65 per reading. Now keep in mind, a reading may last only just a few minutes or many hours. The amount of time is determined by the fortune teller. An astrologer is a person who is an observer of times and a member of the spiritualist religion or New Age movement. The spiritualist religion believes that the stars cause events to happen. Astrologers say the stars don't only forecast our future, but they also guide us to the coming of a new spiritual master. A person's future is charted by plotting a position of the stars and planets at the time of his birth using an ephemeris, which is the reference book for astrological signs. The resulting chart is called a horoscope, which we're all probably familiar with in this room. And Jesus is seen as only a super psychic human being, not God, not deity. Unfortunately, astrology has many faithful followers today who are blinded by the God of this world who has darkened their hearts and their minds. 2 Corinthians 4 and verses 1 through 7. An enchanter is involved with magic spells and potions. Moses had firsthand experience with these imitators of truth in Exodus 7 verses 10 and 11. An enchanter is nothing more than a witch, a wizard, a person who is involved with all kinds of magic. In other words, a genuine imposter. A local Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Kern County promoted a summer camp by using the theme from Harry Potter. Members believed that by using the books and movies promoting Harry Potter was good and healthy for the children. They taught the children about magic and how to make a potion. Included in the Harry Potter camp was the promotion of lifestyles as seen or read in the Harry Potter materials. In the Harry Potter materials, there is no mention of God, thus the true source of goodness is omitted, not deleted, omitted from the Harry Potter series. The occult in general denies the deity of our Lord. Our Lord, who we need to exalt and lift up His name. Harry Potter is truly a persuasive approach for acceptance of the occult into everyone's homes. Remember how the Ouija board came into the homes of people? It was delivered as a toy. Something that the children could have fun with. But the Ouija board is dangerous, especially to the soul. Witchcraft is an ancient work of Satan. So Moses gave warning to the children of Israel not to associate with and practice. Witches worship gods and goddesses, claiming that their powers come from them. They practice what they call white magic as a opposed to the Satanists, the black magic. They meet for regular and semi-annual services called Ibats, for the eighth major solar festivals called Sabbats. Rituals, spells, charms, or in grimoires are followed to include sexual rituals and drug use, reincarnation, lycanthropy, the belief that people can become some kind of animal, most of the time a wolf, and thus the belief in werewolves. Today, witchcraft is glamorized again via the books about and movies about Harry Potter. But Harry Potter is just only an introduction to the many movies that highlight witchcraft, exorcism, Satanism, and the devil that we find in the that is saturating United States of America and the rest of the world. Again, Harry Potter is just a subtle way. Remember, it was Satan who deceived Eve using subtlety in 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 3. Consult her with the dead, familiar spirits, or a necromancer. He is someone who believes they have special powers to call up a friend or a family member who died. The Native American believed in communicating with the dead and with the spirits beyond this life. Common to my heritage, the Shastas and the Kurokes, was the idea that the spirits helped or hindered one's life. Central to the Shastan people's religion was their belief in spirits who inhabited trees, riversides, mountains, rocks, all the celestial bodies, and many animals. They called the spirits a hekai, and they were conceived as similar to human forms, though much smaller. And in personality, being helpful, contentious, greedy, capricious in turn. The Hekai lived in houses and quarreled amongst themselves over who was most powerful, though they never engaged in human-like competition, much like the Greeks and the Roman gods and deities. A wizard or a sorcerer is another classification of the occult. If one is a wizard, he is a male witch. A wizard or a sorcerer elevated themselves above others by claiming to know the unknown. In essence, they dabble in a profession designed to fool the audience. The hand is faster than the eye. The occult is common throughout the world via the internet. Spiritualism is 24/7. People can access potions at $25 a purchase, readings of their future, an online Ouija board, put curses on their enemies, find instructions in the practice of the occult. Each and every culture has some aspects of the occult that influences the lives of people. Secondly, what does the Bible say about sorcery? Well, the Bible is clear and informative about sorcery. It is a work of the flesh. It is sinful. Notice Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19, and especially the first part of verse 20. It says in verse 19, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, they're revealed." Verse 20, he says, and he mentions witchcraft. Witchcraft and sorcery do not lead to an eternal home with God. The occult is a work of the flesh, something that pleases people to a sinful fault. But those who are consumed with this work of the flesh, like all other works and carnal deeds, can be saved. They do not have to be lost. But it takes Christians, like ourselves, like those in this room and those in other rooms and venues around the world via listening to these lessons via the internet. It takes Christians to speak up and present the truth. We have to do our part. We have to be that army of God. When you look at God's people in the book of Joshua, and they go into that land of promise, God gave them the land, but he said that land was filled with enemies and with sin. And it was a 5 to 7 year struggle of warfare and of combat to conquer that land. And they still needed to utterly destroy the inhabitants of that land as God had told them to. We need to, in this world, to go out there and wage that war. Don't let the warfare of Satan get into your homes. We have to go out there. We have to go teach one soul at a time, to win them over to Christ so that they will have the hope of eternal life. Sorcery is a work of the devil. Notice Paul's declaration of the work of Elymas in Acts 13 and verses 8 through 10. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. And then Saul, who who also was called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, thou wilt not cease to pervert the right way of the Lord. Elymas was a child of the devil, an enemy of truth and righteousness. And thus the occult is evil, no matter how appealing the world markets and advertises its ways and practices. In the books of Acts, we read of the conversion of Simon, a sorcerer. His conversion serves as a great example for us as Christians in this day and age that these people can be won over to Christ. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. See, he falls to that sin that took the people of God in Genesis 11, who wanted to build a name for themselves as they were building a tower. And so he enjoyed being called this great one, a man of great power. To him they had regard because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs that were done. Philip preached Christ unto the people of Samaria. The focus of Philip's message was the scriptures. It is the scriptures that testify of our Lord. They testify of our Lord in the first century. They testify of our Lord in this century. And it was the scriptures that saved Simon, the practitioner of the occult. It is God's word that is God's power on the salvation, Romans 1 and verse 16. And then we even see the conversion of those who believed in Acts 19 and verses 18 through 20. Those Ephesians. Those people who had practiced the works of the curious arts, and they burned their books, showing the demonstration of their repentance. Each of these references gives us hope that people who are consumed with the occult can be won to Christ. That is, they can change and become a Christian. But we must go and preach the good news of our Lord in order for them to be saved. In addition, why is the realm of spiritualism sinful? It's sinful because, one, it is part of the imagination and of man. When we look and consider the 135th Psalm, we read in verses 15 through 18, the idols of the heathen are silver and gold, the works of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes they have, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not, neither is there any breath in their mouths, and they that make them are like unto them. So is every one that turneth in them and trusts in them. Hence the Ouija board, the crystal ball, the tarot cards, the reading of tea leaves or the lines on your hands are all the creation of the imagination of people. Those methods certainly did not come to this world by the inspiration of deity through the Holy Scriptures. They came from the heart and imagination of man. Playing with spiritualism is like playing with fire. And we read in Isaiah 47 in verses 13 and 14, and the prophet of old wrote and said, thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsels. Let now the astrologers and the stargazers and the monthly pronosticators stand up and save thee from these things, that thou shalt come unto thee. Behold, they shall be as stubble. The fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. There shall not be a coal to warm at, nor fire to sit before it. God will destroy those doers of the occult. He will destroy them because they transgress His law and His teaching. We should not learn the ways of spiritualism and the occult. In essence, Christians must leave the Ouija boards, the horoscopes, the crystal balls, the tarot cards, and other such objects alone. Put them away from your lives. Get them away from your children. Jeremiah says this in Jeremiah 10 and verse 2. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. But we as Christians, we as God's people, we're not dismayed at those things. We reach out to those who practice such to teach them there is a truth. And what boggles my mind and what amazes me is that when you listen to the various speakers bring up the different things they bring out about the research and their lessons, that intelligent people believe in these things, in the ways of Satan. Intelligent people. People who have the ability to know the difference between right and wrong, but refuse to do the right. King Josiah removed the things that represented the occult in Judah. In 2 Kings 23 and verse 5, as Christians, we need to remove the occult from our lives and help others to cleanse themselves from this worldly activity. Furthermore, what is wrong with trying to communicate with the dead? Channeling is a modern term for communicating with the dead. Today, some people claim to have contacted and communicated with the dead, animals and people alike. They don't make any distinction. I imagine there's probably a service out there that you could probably talk to your dead dog or a dead cat or a dead bird, because they don't make a distinction between communicating to someone else who has died and your pet. Luke records clearly that channeling does not work. And we see that in Luke 16 and verses 22 through 31. And in there we see a number of personalities. One, Lazarus, who died and was buried and went into the presence of Abraham. And then we see a rich man who died, was buried, went into the place of torments. And he pleaded with Abraham to send Lazarus back to convince his own brethren to go back and tell them and prepare them so they don't end up where he is at. And Abraham tells him very clearly that your family has the word of God. See, within this text, we read of this unnamed rich man who becomes evangelistic on the other side of life. He pleads with Abraham to send Lazarus to his father's house to warn his brethren about the fate awaiting them. And Abraham told the rich man, they have that word of God. Let him hear his word. The rich man continues to plead with Abraham to send someone from the dead to communicate with them. But the rich man's destiny is sealed. Now he awaits for the day of separation into eternal hell. Attempting to communicate with the dead destroys one's faith in the scriptures. As a result, people will begin to walk by sight, not by faith, if they seek to communicate with the dead, when the scriptures clearly imply its impossibility. And then probably the most well-known consulter or channeler with the dead in the Bible is the witch of Endor, found in 1 Samuel and chapter 28. In this situation, King Saul is working through a medium, and it is this medium that tells Saul what he already knew, because in the scriptures leading up to this, he already knew everything she said. From the text, God has cut off communication with Saul, verse 6 of chapter 28. As a result, the king turned to a witch for counsel, verse 7. Keep in mind that Saul is working through a medium, and it is the medium that sees Samuel, not Saul. The medium asks Saul who he wants her to bring up, and he says Samuel. The king Saul was disobedient before the Lord on more than one occasion, and at this meeting he was disobedient on the eve of his death. Saul entered the doorway of Sheol as an unfaithful servant of God. May each of us learn not to consult with a medium concerning those who have passed from this life into the next. Remember, God does not communicate with the dead in this manner. Now all these lights are on. I still have. God's people of old were told not to consider or desire the occult. To cross over into discussion with the dead using a medium is impossible. The Bible is our only source of insight for understanding. Where the dead have departed, to turn to someone or something to communicate with the dead is demonstrating a lack of faith in God and truth. As a Christian, we know why we are here. We know what we have been promised. Hence, we must live according to the recompense of the reward. And finally, the dangers of the New Age philosophy to the Lord's church. The New Age philosophy incorporates the occult as an avenue in which spiritualism is promoted in the world. The New Ager gives a different slant on the concept of reincarnation than that does Hinduism. To the New Ager, reincarnation is the doctrine of a second, third, and fourth chance. To them, that's great because I can die and have the opportunity to live again. I can die and have the opportunity to get it right one more time. I was door knocking in San Diego. And there was these three Buddhists that came to the door. And I asked them, where do you go to worship? And they said, oh, we go to the Buddhist temple. And so I asked the one lady, I said, what life are you on? She said, well, I'm on my third life. I said, what were you before? She said, well, I was a princess. Because now she was a broke college student. I said, isn't that the way reincarnation works? You're always something better before than what you are now. I said, but if you have the opportunity to live life one time, and be able to reach heaven or nirvana, would you want to learn that way? And then her friends closed the door and said, we've heard enough. Her friends didn't want to have her learn the truth about that God has appointed man to live one time. And then death, and then the judgment. The New Age philosophy enables the occult to be legitimate. Spiritual option for the people in this world. In essence, it is just another ploy by the influence of Satan to hide the truth from souls. The Christian follows truth and not the ways of this world, which include the occult. As a Christian, we walk by faith and not by sight. He follows the way of truth in this life, not the speculations of the occult, which are nothing more than the opinions of men. And Jeremiah says very clearly, and they will lie unto you. And that's really what they are, lies and deceit. Daniel tells us in Daniel chapter 2, verse 2, 11 and 27 and 28, then the king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans for to show the king his dream. So they came and stood before the king. And in essence, they couldn't give an answer. And then he turns to Daniel. Daniel gives him the answer because there is a God who knows all things about life. In our lesson this afternoon on the occult, on witchcraft, horoscopes, and tarot cards, we have learned that the occult saturates modern society. The Bible condemns the occult. We have a serious responsibility to give up the things of the occult. Communicating with the dead destroys our faith. And finally, the New Age philosophy denies the deity of our Lord and Savior. They make common the way to eternal life. Brethren and friends, heaven is worth it all.